Let's get to our guest, Jin Yuejue, who's multi-asset solutions investment specialist at JP Morgan. Jin, thanks very much for joining us. We had a couple of papers in front page stories in China, state-backed financial news, and also the Securities Times, calling for more stimulus in China. The financial news did say for sure that the economy is expected to return to normal growth in the second half of the year. I'm curious if you agree, and if you do, why are you only neutral on Chinese equities given the lowered valuation?
Thank you for the question. Our view is quite similar to, I guess, the news story that you just quoted, where we think that in the second half of this year, China's economy will have a modest recovery. And we think that, we will start to see that the government will kind of decide that there is a need to produce more policy support. Now, when it comes to asset allocation kind of perspective, yes, China view currently within our equity relative value is a neutral position. But if we compare that with our overall underweight in equity, that actually is expressing the view that we think China is relatively more resilient than some of the other major equity markets.
Jin, there was quite an extraordinary move in China bonds yesterday as well, the 10-year yield dropping to the lowest since May 2020. Does that kind of give you some kind of indication that bonds are where you'd want to be in China at the moment after we had that surprise cut from the PBOC?
Yeah, I think if we look at the surprise cut yesterday, that's definitely kind of is moving towards a positive direction. But yet, I think some of the market participants felt that the scale of the cut wasn't that sufficient. We actually think that there could potentially be positive surprise down the road, where if the government decides that they do need to do more to stimulate the economy, that there is could be a potential kind of upside opportunities in China.
How do you do more but not do too much? That's the essence of their dilemma.
Yes, I think that's the essence of the dilemma across the world facing all governments at the moment, where it is a delicate balance that all governments need to strike. So China is no exception. But I think they are, taking kind of a close watch of their underlying economy, both in terms of domestic economy, but also the external demand for their exports. So I think it is an area that, it's worthwhile close monitoring.
So we are looking ahead to the minutes from the Fed's July meeting. And the key question here is whether or not inflation is going to come down gradually on its own or whether or not we need more aggression from the Fed. What are you expecting in terms of their further moves and I guess what we'll see from these minutes?
Yeah, I think the minutes this week will probably give a hint of the scale of next hike. But we are of the view that there's more work for Fed to do. If you look at the core inflation number, that is still way above their target. So there's still quite a long kind of interval before the next FOMC meeting. So there's a lot that could happen to the data, but we are expecting probably another 50 basis point hike for the next meeting, and then maybe 25 basis points for the two sequent meetings by the end of this year.
So the Fed's dilemma, no doubt, is on the one hand, they want to crush inflation. On the other hand, they would love to engineer a soft landing. So that would argue for a little more of a nuanced play. And a nuanced play becomes easier if you can predict, what inflation is going to do. Doug and I, in our pre-show confab, we were sort of jawboning about the nature of it. Would inflation fall quickly, or would it sort of slowly grind lower, or did it have the potential to peak back up again? I think the slow grind lower might be what's considered more likely. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I would vote for that scenario as well. We think that the inflation will kind of stay high for a period of time, but then slowly grind down towards the end of next year or maybe beyond that. So Fed is kind of trying to navigate that. That's why we think that Fed will continue to tight for a few more months.
Jean, I just wanted to get back as well as to what we were talking about with China bonds, and I guess it's about the divergence in yields as well and what that means for dollar yuan. I mean, we saw quite a bit of weakness coming through in the currency yesterday. What's your outlook here?
We do see there are risks for yuan's further depreciation against dollar, given this unfavorable kind of rate differentials between the two. But we also think that before the 20th Party Congress in the fall, the room for its further depreciation is actually quite limited, given the policymakers' preference for currency stability.
One of the things that I mentioned in one of the newspaper stories today about China doing more was that they need to boost confidence. And it's quite notable that consumer confidence is pretty low in China now. I think recent surveys have it that the households are more pessimistic than they've ever been, which is pretty shocking. Usually the Chinese consumer is pretty upbeat, a lot of upward mobility in that. What's the key to turning that around?
I think there are a number of things that we need to watch for. Obviously, the COVID situation and its related policy have a quite a big impact on the kind of the overall sentiment on the ground, but also kind of just the government's readiness to come out more policy to support the economy would also kind of give a lift to the overall sentiment. But then the external demand for Chinese exports, that's kind of the other uncertainty around this. So a number of things to watch for, but we are still of the view that the economy will stage a modest recovery, given that some of the recent stimulus will start to carry through to the real economy.
I guess one of the things that some central bankers around the globe are looking for is for the consumer to kind of rein in spending a bit to kind of help their moves as well in terms of some of these aggressive hikes. What are you expecting from the RBNZ this week?
I think the market consensus are expecting 50 basis point hike, but I think it will be interesting to look at how they're going to message their future policy, because they're one of the earliest bank that started the hiking, and they've been quite aggressive as well. So, in terms of how they will think where they are in their rate hike cycle, that will be quite interesting to watch for.
So we just have time for a quickie here. How confident are you that overall conditions will be better in 6 months?
I think in 6 months' time, that's probably the other way around, which is we think that the worst of the scenario will probably take place early next year. But things will start to gradually recover after that. So we're of the view that by the end of next year, we will start to see that the economy will recover. And the equity markets probably lead that by 6 to 9 months' time. So in terms of market sentiment, yes, I think in 6 months' time, we will see things starting to turn around better.
All right. Great to have you with us. Thank you so much, Jean Yue Jie, Multi-Asset Solution Investment Specialist at JP Morgan in our Hong Kong studio. This is Bloomberg.